Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. I'm in conversation this week with Anita Morjani. She's the New York Times bestselling author of Dying to Be Me. And we're talking about her new book, What If This Is Heaven? How Our Cultural Myths Prevent Us from Experiencing Heaven on Earth. And today we talk about ego. And we talk about why we have egos and what the difference is between ego and egotistical. And one word you'll hear us say multiple times through today's episode is numinous, which is an adjective meaning having a strong religious or spiritual quality indicating or suggesting the presence of a divinity. Enjoy.
So One of the myths that actually you and I have spoken about, we spoke about actually the last time we had lunch together, was this idea that spiritual people don't have egos, and we both laughed, and I shared the story that one of my best friend works on some of my events, and somebody came up to him not knowing he was my best friend, and said to him, "Gosh, that Michael Neal, he has no ego." And David just laughed and he went, "Yeah." And then he has an ego. He just gets that it has no place in a training.
Yeah.
I think there's something that you wrote that I just thought spoke so beautifully to it. So again, I'm gonna quote yourself to you. "Yet in the near-death experience realm, I suddenly remember that all I had to do was to be myself. And live my divine truth. I simply had to know with every cell of my being that I am the divine manifesting in this world, and that just by being myself, I was the personification of this truth. One of the myriad ways divinity becomes manifest in this life. Even if I remind myself of this fact 100 times a day, it cannot be too much. You and I are the numinous expressing through these bodies at this time and place, right here, right now. There can be no more important awareness than this. Discuss." Mm-hmm. I added the discuss.
It's really interesting having my own words quoted back to me. It's really interesting because it just is really interesting because you're taking me back to the place where I was when I was writing it,
sure.
You know, like right in that state. And it's so nice to be reminded even of my own words. So basically what I'm trying to express in that chapter is that we have chosen to express ourselves in this way. And then we come here and then we deny who we are. But we are the numinous expressing itself in this way. And on the subject of egos, I believe that every single person, including every spiritual person, including even the Dalai Lama, we all have egos. And we have to. We have to have egos. The reason being that if we didn't have egos, we would not even be able to survive as an individual in this world. So, I'm going to say a big but, the difference between the people who appear to be egotistical and the people who do not appear to be egotistical is that the ones who do not appear to be egotistical are very aware, self-aware, and aware that they are connected to a greater whole. They are aware that they are one element of something much bigger, that they are a facet of something bigger. They are aware that every other being around them is equally a facet of that same whole, that same God, that same universe as they are. And so this is the difference. So someone who appears to be egotistical is someone who doesn't have the awareness of the numinosity of everybody else around them and is only aware of themselves as one individual separate from every single other individual, completely as a separate standalone entity that is not even connected and And so it's almost like they go into a survival mechanism where I have to get ahead of all of these other people around me. And the minute we start to believe that, that I am separate, I have to survive, it's survival of the fittest, that is when we come across as egotistical. The people who are more spiritually connected, who are more aware of their connection with everyone, they are aware that we all have to survive, and we have to do it together. And I often use the analogy of fingers of a hand. If you imagine each individual finger in your hand, imagine if each finger thought they were individual and separate from the hand, and each finger believed that they had to get ahead of the other four fingers to survive, they would do everything they can to trip up the other four fingers so that they can get ahead. Now imagine if when they die, they realize, oh my gosh, we're actually all connected. So imagine if the fingers, even when they're alive, they realize they're connected and part of one hand. Think of how much more they could do and how much further ahead they could get if each of those fingers were aware that, oh, we're all part of one hand. Together, we can hold so much more and get so much further and get so much more accomplished instead of as just one finger on our own.
I love that metaphor. And you actually use a metaphor in the book, in What If This Is Heaven, that I love, which is the remote control.
The dials. The remote control dials.
Yeah. Can you talk about that? Because I thought that was, I'd never thought about it that way. I like that.
Yes. So a lot of my ideas come to me in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping, and including that poem in the front of the book. Yeah. So I kind of wake up at 2, 3, 4 a.m. and then I have to start writing. So even the metaphor with the dials, it came to me in the middle of the night where I actually ask you to imagine that you were born with a little remote control in your hand, which just has two dials, and they're like radio dials, like say from 0 to 10. And one of these dials is marked ego and the other one is marked awareness. So imagine if when you're born, both these dials are turned on full, they're turned on 10. And so you come into life with the intention of playing life full on. And a full ego means knowing your individuality. It means knowing why you've come here, who you've come here to be, what you've come here to accomplish. The awareness dial is also full on 10. What that means is your awareness of your connection to the whole, your awareness of life's longings, your awareness of everybody around you. All of that is also at full on at 10. So you know your purpose, but you also know your connection to everyone else and you know your place within the whole. Now, what ends up happening is that as we go through life, these dials start to get adjusted because we start to get told that we need to get ahead in school because there aren't enough jobs to go around. You know, the fear-based teachings and conditioning starts to creep into us as we go through life. As this fear-based conditioning starts to creep into us, that I have to succeed, I have to get ahead, I have to pass tests, I have to get the job, there's not enough to go around. And as that gets turned up, what happens is our individuality, which is our ego dial, stays up, but our awareness dial has to be dialed down. If you want to get ahead of everybody else and you want to constantly feel that everybody else is separate and you're being conditioned to believe everybody else is separate, that awareness dial has to be turned down, and it starts to turn down by this conditioning because you have to separate yourself from everyone else. So the ego dial stays up. Now imagine if you're a woman like me, born into a culture where women are second-class citizens and we are supposed to be subservient to men. And the more we dim our light, the more valuable we are to men, because we become more marriageable. But the more we want to shine and get educated and get a career, the more our culture leads us to believe that we are not desirable for men, and we are harder to get us married. So what does that do? That kind of conditioning turns down our ego dial. It makes me more afraid to be myself, shine my light, show the world who I am, follow my heart. So my individuality dial also gets turned down. So this is what happens to mess us up during our lives, is that one or the other dial gets turned down, or both dials get turned down. But true health to me is having both dials full on. Because one of the imbalances I believe that we are seeing in the world today is that spiritual people believe that they should not have egos. So they turn their ego dials right down to zero. And when your spiritual, your awareness dial is full and your ego dial is at zero, you cannot become a leader. You don't know your true potential, because you see yourself as being somebody who is only aware of everyone else, but you're unable to follow your own true calling. And maybe you have the potential to be a leader, but you deny it because you've turned down your ego dial. So what we're seeing today is that the people who are our leaders have a zero spirituality level on their dials and full-on ego. And I know we're seeing this playing out in our presidential debate as we speak. And the people who have full-on spirituality have no egos. And so they're all there in the back, unable to do anything to change the world. We need people who are truly spiritual leaders, who are aware of everybody, and also aware that they have the capacity as an individual to guide us out of this. And that's really what I believe about the ego.
In a way, what we were talking about in that bit of the conversation is the essence of what Caffeine for the Soul is all about to me. It's that place where our humanity and divinity collide in Eastern teachings. It's the radiant mind where the divine mind and the ordinary mind meet. And there's something magical that happens in that intersection between ego and awareness, between the human and the divine. The book is What If This Is Heaven? How Our Cultural Myths Prevent Us from Experiencing Heaven on Earth. And you can learn more at anitamorjani.com. Tomorrow we're gonna finish off this conversation talking about the myth of positivity. So until then, have fun, learn heaps. We'll talk to you soon.